Alright, let's start the two dots on Samach Vav and Aleph. So it's a number of lines down. How Shechiv Meira, Dechotav La Gita Dadbitu. So it's a continuing the Sugya of Tumei Milta. So here is a person on their deathbed who writes a get. In Gid Vetnach. He was moaning and sighing after he had to give the get to his wife. He was giving the get to his wife to protect her from having to perform evil. But he did not place in the get a tnai that im yakum, if he will survive, if he will not die on his deathbed, that the get would be retracted. So now he was in pain over the fact that he didn't have this tnai, and that he was actually divorcing his wife, no matter what the outcome was. Samrale, his wife, says to him, "Amai kamit nachat? What are you getting all upset about? If you survive, I'm all yours." Right, so he says that she's just, again, it's hot air because she doesn't have the ability, right, to make a tnai over here. We just said before, who's in control? Whoever's in control, that was the last piece of the sugi that we saw, whoever has the control or the ability to make the tnai is the one who can make the tnai. If the other party makes the tnai, then it's a meaningless tnai. We saw that with the mocher and the lokeach. The lokeach was the one obligated to make the tnai. Right? If he doesn't make the tnai, then the mocher saying something is meaningless. Right? And the same thing with the sugya before, we saw with the conditions in the buyback option. Again, the buyback option should have been dictated by the mocher. If it's dictated by the lokeach, then again, it's considered to be tumei alma. Same thing over here. This is a tnai that should have been dictated by the husband. Instead, it was dictated by the wife. So it's p'tumei alma. So Amar Rav Zvid, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina, v'ilav p'tumei milei. All right, let's assume that it wasn't p'tumei milei, that it wasn't, we believe her. We say that her tnai is good. My, right, b'dida kaima, the mishta, t'na b'gita. Right, since when is it within her power to place any conditions within the get? So what do we need to worry about Tumei Mile here? Even if we would say that there's no such concept as Tumei Mile, what could this woman do at this point in time? A get is given by the husband, and he's the only one who can set the conditions for the get. The woman does not dictate any of the conditions of the get. It says, no, I would have thought that this is the Havamina. Hu gufei adata dido kagamia v'yoy v'kito. That when he gives the get, true, he's the one who dictates the tnaim in the get, but he was being somech at that point on her, right, on her statements, on her conditions, and based on her conditions, he was giving the get. So we say that, not that she's able to impose her will or her tnai on the get, but rather that her will or her tnai will affect his, right, conditions or his view or context of the get. Kamash Kalan, that's not the case, and it's p'tumei milei ba'almo, that it's simply, right, we consider her to just be talking to make him feel happy. And the Kamash Malan is that if he actually survives this, she can say, sorry, I'm going to marry someone else. And she go off and marry someone else, that she's not obligated to stay with her ex-husband at this point.
So what are you doing? We do have certain shtomot, I don't remember, like if it's someone who's going to
Israel, then we say... Correct. Tosus discusses it a little bit here, but this happens to be the exception. By get, you have to write it into the get, otherwise it's not valid. Tosus argues based on this, on the Shitas Rach and Rashi and other places, that Matana is equal to get. And over there they say Matana is equal to get, that if he gets up from being a Shchimira, that automatically reverses. You see that? Right, so over here, like Matana is Shchimira. So Tosus says, from over here, from this Gemara, it's pretty clear that it's not the case. That there is no... Right, that a get has a different din, and you must write this tnai into the get in order for it to be qualified. Alright. Hilvahu al Sadehu. So this is the next part of the Mishnah, that he lends him on the field. So Amar Rav Huna, Bishat Matan Ma'ot Kana Hakol. That if he makes such a condition, that he will take possession of the entire field if he doesn't pay by a certain time, then that works at the time that the transaction is happening. Lachar Matan Ma'ot, but after the transaction has already transpired at a later date, Lo Kana El Keneged Ma'otav, then he's only able to take equivalent or value in the field connected to the loan that he has outstanding. So the obvious case or the situation is that the field is worth in excess of the loan that has been given over here. And the case in the Mishnah with this Baitus Ben Zonin was that after 3 years, if you don't repay the loan, the field will revert to me. Now this field reverting to him is now in excess, the value of the field is in excess of the loan. It's now, the way Rav Huna qualifies it, is that if it's done at the moment, right, that the transaction started, then it's fine. But if it's done at a later date, then we don't believe it. But Rav Nachman Amar, afilu lachar matan ma'ot kanakol. Even afterwards, this can be a tnai that's entered into, even after the transaction's already been in place, and a later date one can put into place. Avad Rav Nachman uvda gabe beish kaluta kishmate. Nachman, based on his position, went ahead and allowed such a transaction to go through for the Reish Galuta. Right? And Rav Nachman, again, is a Dayan, right? And related to the Reish Galuta. So you guys are passing this way. Kare Rav Yehuda l'shtare. Yehuda went ahead and ripped up the shtar that Rav Nachman had put together. Samalei Reish Galuta, Rav Yehuda kare l'shtare. Right? That Rav Yehuda rips up your shtarim. How could he be? He says, Amalei Dardako kare. Right? You think like a little kid just ripped this up? Gavarabo kare. He's a serious man, Rabbi Yehuda. He's not just a stam person ripping it up. Chazaveitama bakare. He certainly saw something wrong and he ripped it up. So here he seems to be deferring to Rabbi Yehuda's position. Ikadam, right? There's some that say, Amale Dardaku kare. Right? So he says, yeah, he's a young man, that he's a young whippersnapper that ripped it up. Everybody next to me, Rav Nachman says, is a young child.
This Rav Nachman said.
Yes.
According to the
Ikadam. In the second, both cases, Rav Nachman says it. The first case, he's just saying it's a bitmia. Ah. He says, bitmia to Rav Yudah, is he really a child? He's really a gavarabo. Don't question that he ripped it up. The second case, he says, I wouldn't even pay attention to him ripping it up because he's a young kid compared to me in dinim. So, one of the two ways. Now, of course, in the end, Hadar Amar Rav Nachman, afilu b'shat matan ma'ot lo kana v'lo klum. Rav Nachman reversed his position, and not only did he say that not at the moment of the transaction it doesn't work, but even at the time of the transaction it works, it doesn't work at all. I mean, the Rav Nachman completely reverses his position. So Rav Nachman, he says, im iata noten li mikan v'shloshanim ar mishnah, which says that if you don't give it to me back the loan within 3 years, harihi shali, then it's mine. Harihi shalom, then it works. And the Sadeh reverts to this individual. So you have an explicit Mishnah which says that it works. Now, if you say that it can work either at Shat Matan Ma'ot or during the transaction, then you have a way to explain our Mishnah. But now that Rav Nachman's reversed his entire position and says now that you can never do such a transaction, how does he explain who the author of our Mishnah is? Samalei, ani omer, asmach tekanya. Nachman says, in the old days, I used to think that asmach tekanya, that it worked. Umenyume amar, asmach to lo kanya. And Menyume came along and disagreed with me and says, asmach to does not work. Right? And now, based on this, what does that mean? Menyume now caused Rav Nachman to reverse his position. Menyume was able to convince Rav Nachman that asmach to is lo kanya. Right? And again, asmach to is based on, we'll see this in the second half of today's daf, we'll read the Tosfos, we'll see other qualifications, but esmachta in general is a transaction or a kinyan where the person does it, but not full-fledged, or not with a gemir tadat, because he believes that the outcome is not necessarily going to happen. So for instance, if he thinks that he's going to be able to keep this field because he's going to pay the money back. When he does the transaction, he assumes he's going to pay it back and keep the field. He gives the field, not believing that the field is really going to end up in the hands of the creditor, but just to placate the creditor, assuming that he'll be able to buy it back. So when it happens later on that he's unable to buy it back, we say, Smach lo kanya, that we don't believe that this was in his gemir tadat, this is what he really believed would happen, and therefore it's not konen. So originally Rav Nachman believed that Smach lo kanya, and then Menyume convinced him to reverse his position and say, Smach lo kanya. Now, okay, so now, who is the... Now, according to this, who's the problem? The problem is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a case of Asmachta Kanya. That's why Rav Nachman is disagreeing. So now the question is, Ulim Nume Kashim Asnisen. In the end, our Mishnah is a problem for Ulim Nume, who says Asmachta Kanya, and our Mishnah explicitly says Asmachta Kanya. So Yid Vayitema, Matnitim Rabbi Yossi, Hi Tamar Asmachta Kanya. In Achanami, the author of our Mishnah is one of the Tanaim, the Tanaim Rabbi Yossi, who is of the position that as Machlakanya, but I don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Yumi can say, I don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Right? I hold like the Chachamim, I hold like the other Tanaim that believe that Esmachta is Lokanya. So, Ibayatema, the other possibility is, Darmalei, Kani Machshav, Kani Machshav. But he says, take possession of it from today. So now, this concept or this idea that Kani Machshav can overcome Esmachta Kanya, right, is questionable. Tosfos speaks about it over here. We're going to read the Tosfos, a very important Tosfos. But what is being suggested by the Gemara is that the problem with the Smachta Kanyo is that I don't have Gemira to that. Why don't I have Gemira to that? Because the Kinyan is sometime, or the outcome of the Kinyan is sometime in the future, right, at a time, so I'm not really, it's not on my mind right now. I really don't think that that outcome is going to be real, or is really going to happen. And therefore, at the time of the Kinyan, I don't have Gemira to that. But if I say Knei Me'achshav, if I say make the Kinyan from today, that means that I'm really having Gemira to that, that it's actually going to happen. Because I'm making the Kinyan, or valid Kinyan today, where I'm saying that the acquisition of the property is immediate. Or, again, it's based on it's not later on, but retroactively it's of today. If a person makes such a Kinyan, he obviously has in mind, or really feels that this Kinyan is going to go through, because he's saying Me'achshav. If he didn't believe it was going to go through, and he's being based on a smachta, he would say, in the future. In the future, da-da-da-da. Now, I don't really think it's going to happen, but alright, I'll say it to you. But here it says that Me'achshav already indicates some sort of feeling that it really is going to happen, and that the Kinyan is going to be real. Now this exception of Me'achshav, is that unique to this circumstance, or is that a general principle in Asmachta? Is this a way to overcome Asmachta in general? That's what Tosfos discusses here. This has been Machloket HaRishonim po. Right, the Rambam believes that Me'achshav can overcome the problem of Asmachta in general. This answer of the Gemara is not unique to our circumstances, not unique to our case here. So they can overcome Asmachta in general. Tosfos disagrees over here, and Tosfos explains over here. Let's explain the Machlokas here between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Right now we understand Rav Nachman's position now is that Asmachta Lokanya. That's why he believes it never works. All these offering the field. But now, what's Rav Huna's position? Rav Huna's position is that it works B'shat Matan Ma'ot.
Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda?
Rav Huna. Right, in the first line in our this piece of the Gemara, but the two dots. Amar Rav Huna, b'shat matan ma'ot kana kol, acham matanot lo kana. So that position of Rav Huna, what's it based on? Does he believe Asmachta Lokanya? Or does he believe Asmachta Kanya? Now, if he believes Asmachta Kanya, why does it make a difference? But by b'shat matan ma'ot, lo b'shat matan ma'ot. And if he believes Asmachta Lokanya, why should it work at all? What is the position of Rav Huna? So in the Tosfos, it's by the bet, the little bet in the Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the Yomud, the little bet there, by the Gosabach. Umiyo, the Rav Huna, yeshli tein tam, b'shat matan ma'ot, lo choshiv la'asmachta. Rav Huna believes that the time of matan ma'ot, it's not an asmachta. The hatam b'nedarim vada yihavi asmachta. By nedarim, when we talk about a neder, when a person's gazim, right, he exaggerates and takes a neder or says something, there it's not asmachta. Dein chafetz shitkayim aknas. He doesn't want the penalty to exist, but guzma, the exaggeration. El matnekach, lasmich chavero advarav. Does it simply to placate his friend, or to have him believe what he's saying? Aval hocho, aldat kein malveo ma'ot tov. Over here, because he's doing it the time that the transaction believes, he can't. He's not trying to ma'amit advarav, but rather, it's a part of the transaction. Shetei azadeh, shukat v'yadom. That the Sadeh will actually go be collate, or that it would be nicknate. The whole Kinyan will go
so
through.
So he also says Asmachta Lokanya.
Right, in general. Yeah, but this is unique to this case. Vala Rav Nachman, Domar, Aflacha Matamot Kunea Kol, Loitachen Tamze. According to the Havamina, where Rav Nachman said it works both at the time of the transaction and later on, how do you explain Rav Nachman over now? Now, the explanation of Rav Huna is that at the moment of the transaction, you don't say, I'm just trying to make ma'amit debara, but I'm rather doing a true transaction. Then how does it help you explain Rav Nachman's position that later on, it works even after the fact?
Because he says it's not takanya.
In the original explanation is exactly what David is saying, which is that Rav Nachman believes it's not takanya, and therefore it works all the time. Huna believes it's not takanya, but this is an exceptional case. Mefarish Reed, Tam Shavel Shneem. On the other hand, the Reed gives a reasoning for both of them. So you can already see where Tosfos is going. That here it works differently than everywhere else. at the beginning of the transaction, it's like a mekel. It's not like a halva, but rather more like a purchase. Shemakalo kol karka lishtabet lo b'torat mashkom, because he's giving him full possession of the karka in order to be a mashkom. V'gam asal lo tova b'halva'a, and he also did him a favor by giving him the loan. Hilkach kishimit ratzelo sheheh shelo imilutein lo ad gimul shanim yesh betato lekayim v'lo lasmichu al dvarav. So that when he's actually doing it at this point in time, he's doing it for full-fledged kinyan, because it's really more like a buying, because he's giving a full possession of the mashkom. And number two is the halva, there's tova that's being done here, that he is exchanging, right? Consideration for the exchange. If there's consideration, then he really has gemira at the dot to be marked over here. So markeinu legomer v'datol leknot lo, Rav Huna, kitiyitle, or Rav Nachman mekamei dehadar bei kitiyitle. Each one, according to the reasoning, says how much of a transaction is. Umishum datifa hachas machta misharas machta atashapir. Right, so that works well. The minyume ul Rav Nachman bata dehadre minyume. So that worked well, even according to Rav Nachman, after he reversed his position. The mahani hacha miachshav lo beitin chashuv. Based on this explanation of the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, which is that it's not about asmachta kanya or asmachta lo kanya, but because this is different than any other asmachta. Now, if it's different according to every asmachta, even according to Rav Nachman, then we understand, after Rav Nachman reverses his position and says asmachta lo kanya, how come miachshav works? Why shouldn't miachshav work? Because the Gemara in other places in the Darim says that miachshav only works if you're in front of a Beis Din Choshuv. There's two qualifications. One has to be miachshav, and number two, it has to be Beis Din Choshuv. That gives the Gemara to das, that you're in front of a Beis Din Choshuv and do miachshav. Our Gemara only makes one qualification, which is miachshav. It leaves out the Beis Din Choshuv. Why is it leaving out the Beis Din Choshuv? That's because it's only in other transactions where we say that asmachta is lokanyo. So we say you need two things. You need both Beis Din Choshuv and miachshav. But our case here is a little bit
like
right, a little bit like mecher, and it has a tovah associated with it, so it's a little bit better than a regular asmachta. Since it's a little bit better than a regular asmachta, we allow you just with miachshav to overcome the problem here, and don't demand a Beis Din Choshuv. Right, so that is Tosfos is believing over here. Tosfos quotes like he does from other places, Rabbeinu Tam, about Tanaim. What about Tanaim? What do we do with this? If you look, it's nice. It's by the squared out bit of the Gra in the Tosfos right here. Alma b'sharas machtot afilu machshav lokani. That this machshav does not work in any other smachta, as opposed to the Rama Mutas, believes it does. El dafke Beis Din Choshuv, only in Beis Din Choshuv. Umiu, knas shosim b'shat shiduchim. What about the shiduchim? They used to do the tanaim, the shiduchim, and they make a knas. If you back out, you have to pay this and this money. So mahani, that works. Avivu lo konu b'beis din chashuv. Many times others ask us in the darim, right, on the sugya there. How come we are allowed to have shiduchim work out, right, even when it's a beis din chashuv? Kevin shenogim bo kol olam. The first answer is, the whole world is no heg like this. So since everybody does it, maybe it becomes almost like a kinyan, not because necessarily it's a halacha kinyan, but it's a kinyan because everybody is so mechdat on such a thing. Ve'od, bedinu l'tchayev kol achozer bo. Number two is that there is a chitchayvut here. Why? Kevin shemevayesh et chaveiro. Because there is a problem. If you back out of tnaim, not only do you affect yourself, you affect the counterparty. And that counterparty is going to be embarrassed by the fact that you back out. So because of that embarrassment, both parties are gomerdat, because they know if the other party backs out, they'll be embarrassed. So in order to prevent that embarrassment, they're gomerdat. V'chein, im kibel alav ha-melameid, b'shat shem'hizkiru knas, right, if a teacher, a tutor, right, in their days, you know, they had private melamdin, so if a private melamed comes and says, accepts a knas, if he backs out of being the melamed for this family, they were hard to find. Good melamedim were hard to find. And when somebody was to face a good melamed, he didn't want him to go and all of a sudden get a better deal at another family and leave. So they used to impose a knas on the melamed so he wouldn't leave from the job. So im yachzorbo, v'lo nimtza melamed acher mizuman, if they don't find another tutor to replace him, ein ze asmachto, that's not asmachto, the lo choshi gozum came in shemafsido. That's not considered an exaggeration because there's real loss involved here. When the tutor walks, it's not a magzim that he has to pay a knas, because the family loses out on something they cannot replace. Something that they cannot, if they cannot replace it, there really is a real, right, loss that he's compensating for. Not like it's some sort of a smachta knas that they're imposing on him in excess of the loss that he caused, but no, it's really the knas is a true, right, monetary loss that they're causing this family. So now, based on the Tosu says that a smachta in general is not the loss of kanyo, but there are exceptions to the rule. Those exceptions to the rule are unique, one, to our case over here, which says me'achshav, because our case is a lot closer to not being an asmachta, and therefore with a simply a little more, you can overcome the asmachta problem. That's number one. Number two, Tosu says by Tanaim, that you can overcome it either because kol olam osekim, everybody does this, or because there's a busha involved with the counterparty leaving, and that busha, you have to compensate for it. Therefore, it's no longer an asmachta, it's really compensation for the nezik that you caused by the busha of walking away from the tanaim. And the last thing that Tosafot points out is by the melameid. Again, by the melameid, we don't consider something to be asmachta, where you're compensating for real deficit or real losses. And that's important here in asmachta. When is asmachta a problem? Is begazim. When you exaggerate or you're paying in excess of the loss created. What Tosfos is introducing over here, by case by the Melameid, and the case by the Tanaim, is that you're actually compensating for true nezek. You're compensating for real nezek. In that case, it's not a smachta, it's really a kinyan. It's a very, very important Tosfos in defining what a smachta is, number one. And number two is that this exception, machshav, does not apply. Other places you need machshav and based in choshev to have gemira tadat, not simply machshav. Again, the Rambam disagrees with this Tosfos.
In the case of Tanaim, I learned offers that they make when they sit down by the kedushin or by even if they don't
like that. Tom gives the same reason over there that the busha from the other side is a gemir zedat. There's an gemir zedat because of the circumstances, the context. Rabbeinu Tam in Ketubah says that it's b'mamad kol ha'ir. Since everybody's there, it's considered like a Beis Din Choshuv. That's what Tam says that. But it's Naim. Since everybody's there, it has the same din as a Beis Din Choshuv, and therefore there's gemir tadat over there. Alright, now, Amrle Mar Yinoka Umar Kishisha B'nei de Rav Chista. So the young mister and the older mister, the children of Rav Chista, right? His two children, the Rav Ashi. Hachi Amrle Nidari Mishmei de Rav Nachman. This is what the Naradai say over in the name of Rav Nachman. Hayesmachta Bizmanei Kanyo, below Zmanei Lo Kanyo. Esmachta at the right time is Kone, you know, at in the time is Kone. Below Zmanei, not at the time is Lo Kanyo. So everything that if you said at the time when the kinyan will be effective, then the kinyan should be effective at that time. It's not at that time, then it's not effective. What type of chiddush are you bringing here? So as dima afikamitu, this is maybe what they meant to say. Ashbechei begom zimnei. If he found it within the period of time before the repayment is due, for instance, in our case, where he says after 3 years the field will revert to you. Within the period of the 3 years, he finds it. Zemalei kani. So he says to him, listen, just take the field already. Be kone in the field.
Although
we haven't expired. It's not. We haven't reached the end of the period where he really will take possession. But he says, you know what, just take possession already. Kone. Then in that place, he is kone. Why? Because here he's not obligated to do anything for him. The fact that he actually offers it up or gives it to him, that indicates that he really is being makne. There is mirtat. Barta zimne. After the time, Barmalek kone, right? Or he says, kone, take it. Lo kone. There he's not coming. My time. Why is he? Because he's saying it over there. Macham kitzufu the kamarle, right? That he's embarrassed at this point that he hasn't paid the loan, and he's saying kani at this point because he just wants to defer, right, being obligated to pay at this point. He just wants to get the guy off his back. Velohi, right, says no, does not work. Da'afilu begozim neilo nami lo kami, because even within the period of the loan, it's not kani. Why? How did the kamarle kani? So why does he say kani? Kasavra kimata zimne lo leiti l'tardan. He says, because he's just saying kani now, not to indicate that there's a kinyan right now, but rather to say, you know, when the time comes, I won't have to deal with him. I don't have to see him, right? I don't have to bother him to come and see me. I don't have to face him at the time that the real due date is. So I'm just saying to him now, kani, that you have it, but not indicating that I really mean I wanted to take possession of it now, but rather at the time that it comes about, at the end of the 3 years. So therefore, you could still back out. Or the basic question here is, can he take the field back before the 3 years? If he pays the money, is he entitled to get his field back before the expiration of the 3 years? Now, Amar Rav Papa, Hai Smachta Zimnin Kanya, Zimnin Lo Kanya. These transactions, these types of Smachta Kinyonim work sometimes and sometimes don't work. Ashkefe de Kashati Shechra, if at the time, at the end of the 3 years, right, he comes and we find him in the pub, drinking beer, relaxing, then Kani. Right? Because if he's so relaxed, we assume that he's not trying to buy the field back. He's basically given up hope of getting back his field, and he's let it go. Right? He's miyayish. If we see him running around desperately trying to get cash to buy out the field so he doesn't lose the field, then lokoni, because it's clear that he doesn't have merit to die, he's trying to avoid it, right, being nechlat, that the kinyan going through. Drinking is not always a means of relaxation. It's also a means of, right, avoidance. Over here, he might be drinking because he's losing his field, and he's distraught about losing his field, so he's drinking to drown away his sorrows. Right? That's the same thing by the Gemara Brachos by Avelus. Right? Originally, that they would drink, they would shote yayin by Avelim used to be shote yayin, right? And they, in order to, you know, remove some of the sorrow, but then they realized they were becoming shikur. So the Gemara then says that they didn't allow the Avelim to drink yayin. But the original idea of drinking the yayin was a little, to remove some of the pain or the hurt of what's happened. Same thing over here. Who says that the drinking of wine is an indication of not caring? It might be an indication of really caring, and then he needs to, right, somehow release the tension from him.
I thought it seems to be worrying that the borrower is coming up on the due date,
right,
rather than as long as he makes the statement. Isn't the question, at the time that he made the statement, getting out of the field, was it genuine or not?
But you know what? So I think you have to say he's drinking the beer at the day that it's nechlat. That's an indication of what he thought when he gave it over. And if he's drinking beer, right, on the day when it's going to be given up, that means that that's indicative of how he felt when he made the original kinyan. I think that's what you have to say. To say that that's a, right, a marimokum on what his original disposition was at the time of the kinyan. If he's running around looking for money at the day that it's due, that's indicative.
It shows that the time that,
right,
he said it,
right,
he didn't expect it to leave.
Exactly. Okay, that's the way you have to explain it. Inami, inishafrina asmachei azuzeh. That the other possibility is someone else is running his money. I mean, that he's not the one looking for the money. He appointed someone else to oversee his house, take care of his, right, his monetary, yeah, his finances, and he's the one running around. He's drinking because the other guy's taking care of it. So, Elam Ravina, no, the way to explain it is like this. Now, this is a big machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here about how to read these next couple lines in the Gemara. Ravina says, Ikapit bidmei vade koni. The way Rashi reads it, if he is makpid, never to sell any of his possessions below market, now meaning possessions being any metaltalin, not karka, but metaltalin, then, Amra, then we assume what? That there is nechlat, that there is a kinyan. Why is there a kinyan over here? Because what? By the metaltalin, if he's unwilling to discount his metaltalin to sell them in the market, then according to Rashi, that means that we know he's not going to get the karka back here. Why? Because he refuses to sell any of his possessions below market. If he refuses to sell any of his possessions below market, he'll never raise the cash to buy back his karka. So based on that, it's not nechlat. It's based on that, it's nechlat. The kinyan's over. Everything's done, according to Rashi. Because we know he's never going to come up with the cash. Right? So Amar Leih Rav Acha
Mitivtei. We're talking about a field that's worth...
Right. I would have thought also the same thing. It's very strange. But Rashi says that he'd rather let his field go than discount his possessions. Because that he gave up on already. That he gave away early on. So that was something.
Because one
that
never gives up, never gives in.
Right, so it is strange. I'll be honest with you. Rashi says it, but I don't really understand it so well. So I'm really Ravachim Yitifdei Ravina. Dilma Savar, Gechado Titzel Arei. His unwillingness to discount his possessions is not because he refuses to raise cash to buy back the field. That's not the issue over here. What is the issue over here? The issue over here is that he's afraid that what the impact it will have on the remainder of his properties. I mean, that the remainder of his properties, if he starts to discount his possessions, then people will know he needs to raise capital. When people know he raises capital, they bid low on his properties. So what he's afraid of is causing a chain reaction where people are going to start bidding low on his properties. It has nothing to do with the fact that his unwillingness to raise capital means that he's really koneh, gives up on the property. No, he hasn't given up on the property, but he's afraid to discount because of its impact on his broader portfolio of assets. and therefore he won't be able to sell anything, right, for the proper price. So El Amar Papa. So Rapapa explained it differently. Alright, he says, no. E kapid b'ara vadekani. If a person's makpid on the arrow, so again, according to Rashi, what does this mean that he's makpid on arrow? That, again, he won't discount his properties over here. He won't give up on his properties. Rashi says it here. Shalom kir shaveh karka afilu b'shavyov. That he refuses to sell land ever. He never wants to sell his property. He always holds on to his property. So now, if a person refuses ever to sell his property, and in this instance, right, he goes ahead and offers his property as compensation for the loan, that means that he must have been Gomer Das, because he would never offer such a transaction to anybody. He will never sell land. The fact that he offered this in this transaction indicates that he really believes he's going to sell the land and he's given up on it. Right, so now, that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here. Now, on the other hand, Tosfos says he doesn't understand Rashi. So now he explains it a different way. Nira Lefarish, it's in the top Tosfos here on the right side. Now what it means, Nira Lefarish, it's about 2, 4, or 5 lines down in the Gemara. If you go about 4 or 5 lines down in the Gemara, if you go to the right there, it says Nira Lefarish. Nira Lefarish, Ikapit Bidmei, Shehikpi Bishat Halva'a, Likachale Shovyo Bezeh Hatnai. That, at the time, what does it mean that he assessed the value of the property to ensure that the value of the property equaled the loan? That he didn't stop giving him a mashkon of land and just say, oh yeah, here's the mashkon. He went out of his way to get it assessed so that the value of the land will equal exactly the loan. So if he did that already, what's on his mind? That this property is really going to this guy in the end. Because otherwise, if he just thought he was doing it willy-nilly, and they just tried to do it, he wouldn't have got it assessed. He would have just said, here's the land, yeah, when I go pay it, you get the land. Because he didn't think he was going to give it. But the fact that he went out of his way to assess it, and to determine the pricing of the property, that's already an indication that he really thinks that something's going to happen over here. Imkain, datoy el shakol b'yada malvet. Then he really believed that he's going to leave with the malvet. Uparich. Then the question is, dioma ki eichi dolitzel arei. Right, the reason that he did that was that he doesn't want people to see him discounting his property. I mean that, if he didn't assess his property at the exact amount, and he overcompensated with his property to these people, what are others going to think? This guy's willing to discount his property. If he's willing to discount his property, they're going to start bidding low on his other properties. So the reason he assessed the value of the property is to ensure, or to let people know, I don't sell below market. So that was why he did it. Ella. So now, what's the next line? Rav Papa's line about karpar. Ella e kapit ba'ara. How does Tosfos explain e kapit ba'ara? She ainu rotzel lasot tnai zev shum karka el mizu. So as if Tosfos says that, what does it mean that he's kapit ba'ara? That he refused to make any other piece of property the collateral on here except this property. He specifically indicated he didn't want a broad collateralization of his properties. He didn't want any other property, but he said only this property I would give as collateral. If he's indicating only this property is collateral, what's on his mind? This property is going. Otherwise, he would just say, yeah, you have a lien on all my properties. Or any property, whatever. You pick the property, that's fine, take it. The fact that he was makpid only on this particular property already is an indication that he really thinks that he may not get, seriously thinks that he's not getting this property back, and therefore this gemira tadat. So Rashi, again, Rashi explains that makpid amone is that we see an indication from him that he's not going to redeem it. And secondly, we see an indication from the fact, by his nature, he won't redeem it. That is either because he's kapit amoni, he won't sell any of his possessions below market, right? Or because kapit aro, which is that he never sells property. He never sells property, and he let him have this property, that's an indication that he has a merit to die. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, no. That what does it mean, b'moni? That when he's metalkalin, it means that he was makpid at the time of the loan to assess the exact value of the property. So the exact value of the property is an indication of more of a real transaction than just a gazim, or just an indication, I'm just trying to be masmiach dat, that I'm really going to tell the truth. If you're already assessing the value, it looks like you're really allowing him to purchase the property, because otherwise you wouldn't have cared so much. And the Gemara says, no, because maybe it affects his other properties. And again, Kapit Ara sounds a lot like Rashi again, which is that he was makpid to give this specific property. So as opposed to Rashi, who says that he gave property up, where he would never give up property up ever, so it says this property in particular, again, indicates that he is Gemiyos the Daso here to give it over. Right, so that's Rashi and Tosfos' explanation. Then, Rav Papa. is another statement by Rav Papa. Afikav damur rabbanan asmachta lokanya. So though, even though in general asmachta lokanya aputike habe the migba mina. So this is very important. So the transaction, if you remember, in our Mishnah is that he overcompensated. He gave a property worth more money, right, than the actual loan. So now, what happens if you say asmachta lokanya? That means that this doesn't work, right? Our Mishnah doesn't work. So if our Mishnah doesn't work, does he lose everything? Right? Has he lost the ability to collect from this property whatsoever? Or do we say asmachta lokanya is that at the end of the 3 years he doesn't get the whole property? So what Rapapa is actually doing is bifurcating the case here. And he says, even though, right, the asmachta lokanya for the purposes of taking full possession of the property at the end of the 3 years, nevertheless, it's a putuki that you can use it as a, you have the ability to collect out of this property to fulfill the loan, but up to the amount of the loan. So Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Natan the Rapapa, Mi Kamarlei Kani Lukuvaino, or Kane Lukuvaino. Who said over here, I mean, that the whole transaction between us is not use this property to fulfill the loan, to use it as a payment, but rather it's done as this after 3 years. If I don't pay you, take the property. What you're saying, Papa, is you're introducing a new usage for the property that was not agreed to at the time of the loan. So I'm a lamer. Sucha Brother Mari, the Rabino. V'yamar, Kneli Migva Mine, Koni. He says, he questions. Right, the whole premise of the question, which is the premise of the question, is that had he said at the beginning of the loan, use this for collection, right? And he says, so asmachtahi, asmachta lokanya. The whole idea, or the whole problem here, is that the person at the time of the loan doesn't believe that he's ever going to have to give up this property. So mali that he says at the end of 3 years it's going to be nechla to you, or mali that you're going to be able to take collection out of this property. He doesn't believe that it's ever going to happen. It's asmachta lokanya. So whatever you think, right, you want to bifurcate between guvina collection versus, right, overpayment or just something where at the end of the 3 years you take it and that's it, right, if you want to bifurcate between them, but they're still relying on the original Kenyan. They're still relying on the original Kenyan. The original Kenyan is the smacht value because this person never believed that he's ever going to have to give up the property. Ella, aputuke de kamar apapa mahi. So then what does this mean, this aputuke de apapa? Darmalai, lo yelechap your own, ella mizu. That you owe, like a real putuki, is that you will not have, you can collect out of this property. So now at this point, right, then you actually have two factors that are happening at the time of the transaction. So if you look in, it's Rashi. Even within the 3 year period, you can only collect from this property. And if I don't give you out of this property, sell the loan within the first 3 years, take kula shelcha. Then at the end of the 3 years, the entire thing will be yours. So basically what he's saying, within 3 years, I have to settle the loan with this property. And if I don't settle the loan with this property within the 3 years, then the entire property in excess of what really the loan is worth, you will get. So Bahama Rapapa, on that Rapapa says, Afakav lo kanyan mavi kule today, even though he has no kinyan for at the end of the loan, at the end of the 3 years to be his, because even without the asmachta, he made this the payment vehicle. Since he made this the payment vehicle, then he has two, basically almost in the bifurcation between the collection and the end of the 3 year, give up the land, right? There's also a bifurcation in the Kenyan. There's an asmachta or a Kenyan for that at the end of the 3 years, but there's also a separate statement is the payment will come out of this property even during the 3 years. That statement allows the aputuki, allows the collection to go through, even though the final part or the full field will not come over to him. So that's how Rapapa allows for such a bifurcation in the din.
According to Rapapa, at least some part of the deal is going to become the lender no matter what.
Right. Up to the value of the loan. Correct. That's very rational. Tosus asks a very important question here, and this is what I said before, that Tosus here does a lot of defining of asmachta. Right? The Gemara later on says that there's only an asmachta, right, if you have two, they have to have conditions. Either, de'im b'yado, abaga d'lagazim, something that you don't have in your possession today, even though you're not exaggerating, but something that you're telling that you're going to get or do, and it's not in your hands today, that can be considered asmachta, because you don't actually have it. The other possibility of asmachta is if you actually have the item in your possession today, but you exaggerate. For instance, over here, where you're offering them a field in excess, right, of the true value of the loan. So that's, even though you have the field in your hands today, nevertheless, you're exaggerating because you never believe it will happen, otherwise you wouldn't offer him something in the excess of his loan. So Tosa asks on the Gemara here, the Gemara asks the question, how could you collect that in this field? That's an asmachta. Well, how could you collect that as field? Even for the part, meaning that the Gemara wants to split between collection and the final 3 years, the end of 3 years when you take the whole field. The Gemara said over there, who cares whether you bifurcate or not? The original Kenyan was an asmachta, because he never believed he had to pay it back. Tosfos says, how do you have an asmachta here for collection? The collection is only connected to the loan, up to the value of the loan. So what asmachta? Why didn't he have a Kenyan for collections out of this property? Number one, he didn't exaggerate. And number two is, it was biyado. It's biyado, right here in the field. He didn't exaggerate because he's only giving you up to the value of the loan. He's not giving you excess of the loan. So why over here, is there no, why does the Gemara assume that there's a smachta like that? Right. Why is there a smachta here for the collection? I mean, that Rapapa, we have to rework Rapapa's statement. They say that it was putuke, that you have to only collect out of this property. Why is Ravina's question, a question over here? Or Marzuchi Breda Mamari, the Ravina, who says that, why is it a smachta? There's no reason to believe it's a smachta. So Tosfos answers over here, it's right across from the goes of Bach, the choshit gum of gozim. In our case, it's like he's exaggerating. The fish in Adam Ragilim Korkakutav Klau. People generally do not sell their property. Since people generally do not sell their property, therefore it's assumed if a person offers his property as payment or the payment vehicle, that's like a smachta. Ubisamoch, we're going to have a case in a minute. Gabi Chamro, also by wine. Damar Kol De'ilo Koni. We're going to see a statement by Rabba that anytime you make a condition, it's considered as if there's an asmachta here. Also, the Chamro, wine is considered to be gazim because it wasn't the time to sell wine yet. It was already before the wine selling season. And therefore, nobody would sell their wine now because it sells cheap today and it's going to sell much longer, much higher at the further season. So since you're offering him the wine today at the lower price, that's already considered gazim. That's already considered exceptional. So Tosfos expands over here and says that gazim, exaggeration, is not only when you're in excess of the true nezek or the true value, but gazim is also in instances where people normally would not do such a thing, would normally not act in this manner. That means they don't generally use karka to settle loans. And number two is like with wine. They normally sell wine at the market when it comes to market, not early on at the cheaper price. And then if you offer it those instances, you are gazim, you're exaggerating, because you are assumed to be doing something that is out of the ordinary. So Tosfos expands this view of asmachta to include a broader category of items that will be classified under the term asmachta over here. All right, now, continuing with Gemara. How garba dezavin le'ar l'chavrei b'achrayut. Person sold property to his friend with achrayut. So he says, meaning that he gave him achrayut, which means that he has recourse if it gets taken from him. So Amalei, the buyer says back to the seller, if they take it from me, I'm taking it from you, the cream of your crop, right? the best of your property, I'm going to collect from if they take from me. So Amalei, the seller says back to him, no, I will not pay you out of that. I want to keep that property. I will give you out of my idit, my best property. Okay, so I won't give you out of my cream of the crop, but I will give you out of my idit. Right, now, from other idit that I have. The sof, tarfu amina, of course, in the end, right, they came, took the property away from the buyer, so now the mocher, the seller, is obligated to replace the property. But, something else happened. Ata bitko, there was a flood, shakli the idit, and it wiped out his cream of crop, his best property was wiped out by the flood. Now, what do we say? Meaning that there were two conditions stated at the time of the loan. There was the condition of the buyer who says, give me your best, right? And then there's the condition of the seller who says, no, I'm not giving you my best, I'm giving you my secondary, right? I'm giving you my step below that. Now, several popular may marmidit amrele vahakaimo. The mocher, the seller, offered him idit, and that's still around. So you should have to pay for it. Amrele vahakamidit to the rabbino. The lemele ki amriloch. Ana Magvinalach, when he says, I'm going to pay for you, to have an idit kaimo. Right? Now, when he made this statement that I'm willing to give you my idit, that was only in relative or context of having something better. Hashta kaimo le idit, b'makom idit. Now, his idit, the best of his property, is his idit. And then yachas, relative to that, he'll give him property that's below it. Basic machlokes, the basic statement over here is: do we look at it in absolute terms, right, or do we look at it in relative terms? I mean, is the offer of the mocher that he will give him idit, period, and we look at it in absolute terms, or we look at it, the mocher is offering him relative property? I will give you a step below my best property. When his best property was idit, then he would offer him idit. But now that he has no more idit and he only has idit, I have to offer him benonit because Right? He no longer has something relative. It's all a relative transaction. That Gemara leaves behind, but you have these Rav Papa and then the question of Rav Huna. Now, Rav Bar Shava, have a mesik bei Rav Kahana Zuzay. Rav Bar Shava was a creditor to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana owed him money. Amalei, ilo prana lecha leyom ploni, gabe mehai chamro. If I do not pay you by a certain day, take it from this wine. Savara Papa le meimar, ki amina asmachta lo kanya, hani mili be'aro. And when do we say that asmachta lo kanya has to do with land only? Right, that's a land issue, not a metaltolin issue. The lav is when it came up. Why? Because land in general is not sold. So that we just saw that in Tosfos. Tosfos says that's why it's machta lokanya by land. Even in the end, when we say, according to everybody, it's machta lokanya by land is considered gazim, because people don't generally sell land. Avachamra came to zvune kai, because it's a dami. Since wine is generally sold, it becomes fungible with cash. And therefore, if someone offers wine as the payment, it's as if he's saying, in the end, you'll get your cash. Because what do people do with wine anyway? They sell it. If they can sell it anyway, then why can't it be the replacement for the money? They say in the name of Rabba that your deal is wrong. Esmachta is not only relevant to karka, but it's always relevant to metaltim. Why? Because Rabba says, kol di'i lokani. Anytime you leave such a condition in the original transaction, that is an esmachta, and esmachta lokani. So that's the case of here. Kol di'i lokani, because our case over here, what did he say to him? It says, if I don't pay you, then take it from the chamro. So di'i means if, right? If. So that already makes an esmachta. And even by chamro, it's not konet. So Tosus, again, we saw that Tosus asked, why by chamro does it not work? He's not exaggerating. He has the wine in his hand, so why doesn't it work? If it doesn't work, it's because he's selling it now. He's marking the market on the wine at today's prices, which is before the selling season. He's doing it right at the gat, where he has to take a lower price at the market today, versus selling it out. If he waited for 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, until they sell the wine, then he would get full price. The fact that he's offering him it to market at today's pricing already tells you that it's an asmachta because he wouldn't normally sell at that price. Right? It's a problem with the lottery in Israel. It's a problem with the lottery. Rabbi Yosef has a tshuva about the lottery in Israel. How can you have a state that runs a pais? Because when I buy the lottery ticket, right, then I think I'm going to win. So was I really going to that and I gave up my money when I buy the ticket? Oh, so that's what Rebecca says. Buy lottery tickets, that's exactly what it's called, a lottery ticket. Because exactly that. That's how people look at it. That's a dollar, it's a shekel, it's five shekel, whatever it is. Well, why not? I take a chance. But they give up the money because they think, you know, what do I have to lose? I gave five shekel away, it's gone.
Plus, you don't expect anything else.
I'm sorry?
You're building a matnas that you can use.
Right, that's good. Right. And in general, it's getting back, but it still doesn't help the smack of Lokania, but right. They use it for good purposes in the end, but that doesn't necessarily, would not necessarily justify the Kenyan up front. Yeah. Right, so I'm Rav Nachman. Ashadam Rav Banan, a smack of Lokania. So now that people, that the Chachamim say that a smack of Lokania, Hoda Aro, the Hajr Peirot. So in that instance, the plant will come back, and the payroll will come back. So now, what does that mean? That the Aro will come back with Hadra pay, right? So Rashi explains this, the report of Rashi explains this, that Hadra Aro, that the land will go back, meaning that at the end of the 3 years, if he made such an offer, it does not work, and we're going to pull it out of him. We're going to rip the land out of him. Also, La'acha Shalosh, if the buyer ate fruits after the 3 years, we're going to insist that he pays the fruits back, because he took it inappropriately. That means that he took it inappropriately. It means that he, number one, he has to give back the land. Number two, according to Rashi, afterwards he has to eat it. Now, what about the payroll that he ate? What happens if he eats payroll within the 3 years? Does he have to give those payroll back? So, right, that happens to Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi indicates here that it has to be Achar Shalosh to get it back. Within Shalosh, sounds like Rashi, you do not have to pay it back. Right? Others, the Rashi agrees with them, Sharpon Skim, that within three, it's Enu Asur El Mishum Ribit, Vavrak Ribitu. If it's a Vak Ribit, we know from Rabbi Lazar that only Ribit Ktutza you're forced to give back. No, right. Not a question if it's Asur or not Asur. He's not allowed to consume it within the 3 years. But is he demanded to return it? The answer is no within the 3 years. Why? Because it's a Vak Ribit. And a Vak Ribit, we can't force you to return. Only which was after the 3 years is a smach, then we force you to return the land and the payroll. But within, no. Although the Rambam disagrees and says even within the 3 years, right, that you have to return the payroll. Alright, so now, let's finish up the Gemara over here. So, the Memra, the Sabar of Nachman, from this you can conclude that Rav Nachman believes Mechila B'taot lo v'Mechila. If one forgives or gives in, B'taot, by accident, lo av y'Mechila, it's not considered a Mechila. What does that mean over here? At the end of the 3 years, the lokeach, the buyer, the lender comes along and says, I'm taking the property, and it begins to eat pirot. So the seller does not know that he had a kinyan asmachta here, and that he really has a right to take the property back. So he looks in, he's watching the guy eat it, and he says, yeah, he's entitled to it. He ate it. So he is mochel on the pirot of the buyer here. He's being mochel on him eating it, because he sees him eating it, and he's not objecting. Now, the lack of objection is premised on the fact that he does not know. It's a mistake. Because he doesn't know that he's not supposed to, right? He's not supposed to be able to have a kinyan here. Vayigmar, don't we have another statement of Rav Nachman that says otherwise? Amucher peiro dekel d'chaviro. Someone who sells the fruit of a dekel to his friend, which is a davar shelo bali olam. Vam ravuna, ashelo bali olam. Before they come into existence, yacholach zorba, you can reverse the transaction. Once they come into existence, once the fruits are actually there, and yachol achzorbar, that even a person who believes davar, you can be makbe davar shelo bali olam, the kinyan's not nechlat until the actual item shows up. Rav Nachman Amar, af mi shebaul liolam, even when they come into the world, yachol achzorbar, you can go because it's ein adam makne davar shelo bali olam. A person cannot be makne davar shelo bali olam. So Amar Rav Nachman Modina di shamit achyal lo mafkinu mine. I agree that if he actually takes the fruits, even though he's not allowed to make such a kinyan, right, and he's allowed to walk away from them, but if the buyer ate them, he eats them at this point in time, we don't force him to give them back. So even though he's not taking them back, and he's not entitled to the fruits, nevertheless, we say that we don't force him out of his hands. So why is that different? Over here, Rav Nachman says, Mechila Betalot is not the Mechila, and we return Hadra Ara, Hadra Peret. The land and the fruits go back. But in Dekel, he says, if he takes it inappropriately over there, then we say, right, as long as he's not chuzer, as long as he doesn't reverse his position, he's mochel on the buyer eating the fruits. So why is it different? So my answer is, hatam zvine, hocha halva'a. It's the difference between halva'a and zvine. One's a transaction, and one is a loan. The way Rashi explains this is that, hocha halva'i, in our case, of the land, where it's after the 3 years it's going to his possession, Rashi says that it's mechzek ribit. It's a very important thing that Rashi is saying. It looks like ribit. And there, because tchilat halva balo ukribit ksutza dami. Since it came to him, when was the deal struck about taking the land at the end of the 3 years? At the moment of the loan. At the time of the loan, what does that look like? It looks like ribit ksutza. It is not ribit ksutza, but mechzek ribit. What Rashi introduces over here is that when do you not have to return ribit? Only when it's a vak ribit. But if it's ribit ktsutza or mechsek ribit, both of those you will have to return at the end. They'll have the same din. That's what Rashi says over here. It's not a din in a vak ribit at the end of the 3 years. It's a din of mechsek ribit. If it's a din of mechsek ribit, then you have to return it after the 3 years. In our case, by the dekel, right? Vein a vak ribit, b'davar alva, b'davar mecher. A vak ribit is only in cases where there is a transaction, when there is some sort of, right, give and take. So that's what the case of the dekel. In the case of the dekel, right, the reversal of the transaction happens at a, right, later date. And that's what causes the problem, right, the reversal of the transaction. And that's what causes the issue over here. And therefore, a vak ribit, right, it's a vak ribit in the case of the dekel. If it's a vak ribit, there we say mekach u'memkar, you don't have to return it. So that's where Rashi differentiates over here. Tosus disagrees with Rashi's explanation. If you look at the end of the Tosus, where it says the hey, where it goes to Gura, it's like the last four lines in the Tosus. Parash Rabbeinu Tam, Hachlova, da love lo hitne elevatoric mecher, va mecher enu plum das machta lo kanya. Right, that in our case of the 3 years, what happened here? The love, the debtor, gave it over to the possession of the malveh, but in a transaction, which was, at the beginning, which was a mecher. They basically sold the property to him after 3 years, based on the loan. Now, does that sale work? The answer is no, because it's a smakta lo kanya. Now, if it's smakta lo kanya, right, what are you left with? You're left with no mecher, just the halva. So therefore, nimsa havi mechila, b'shat b'ta'ut, v'lo havi mechila. U'lekach hadre peri, and therefore the fruits go back. Aval im hayanot no b'torat repeat, lo hadre. If he gives it over to him as repeat, has he given it? Had he paid it to him as interest, it would not go back to avak repeatu. Then it would be avak repeat. So the problem is, why is he taking the fruits over here? Is he taking the fruits because it's premised on the fact that he sold him the property? And because he sold him the property, that sale failed. If the sale failed, then he gets back his fruits because that's a mechila b'taut. On the other hand, if he paid it to him in a halvah, really as a loan, and he was paying him as rebeat, he thought he was paying a rebeat, not because it was a sale, but because of rebeat, over there that's a rough rebeat, and he cannot take those fruits back. And avahotam got a perodekel. By perodekel, zvine velo mechila b'tauti. It's a sale, and there's no taut here. Even though he has the right to back out of the transaction, he shouldn't do it to stand by his word. So Rav Nachman over there, it says that the case of Dekel is different, that even though he has the right to reverse his position, he shouldn't be reversing his position. And therefore, since he shouldn't reverse his position, we consider the Mechila to be a true Mechila. In our case over here, what's the problem? The problem is that there's a lack of Kinyan. A lack of kinyan means there's no mechir. He thought that he sold the property to the buyer because after 3 years it's yours and he sold it to him. So now when he's eating it, he's basing it on a premise where he made a mistake because there is no mechir, there's a smakol kanya. On the other hand, if it's a fakri bit, meaning that if he gave it to him and he lets him eat the fruits because he thinks he's paying him interest over the time, right, that he cannot extract over here because, why? Because it's a fakri bit. A fakri bit cannot be extracted. The difference will be why the person thinks he's giving him the idol. If he thinks he's giving it to him, done. If he thinks he's giving it to him because there's a mecher, and even though he's allowed to reverse his position, but he shouldn't, then again, the fruits are gone. The only case where it works is where he thought he sold him the property, and that's why he's eating the fruits, but the sale was a false sale, because it was a smachtelokanya. Since the sale was a false sale, he was eating fruits based on a false premise. And that false premise allows him to take the fruits back. That's the Tosfos understanding of the Gemara over here.